time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, John Batchelor, and I welcome Michael Vlahos, Germanicus. We are by the Thames, as we do on Sunday nights. On our way to the theater, we stopped off for a cup of wine. Thank you very much. It's excellent. The Thames is, it's winter, so it is neither fair nor is it in any fashion threatening. The winter is not snowing. It's not as cold as it could be. We're warmly wrapped. We're equestrian class, meaning we don't work, but we're not worried about the politics of Rome. Somewhere on the frontier, the legions are in action against rascals, the barbarians. Domitian is our emperor. He's in trouble with the Senate. But that doesn't bother us because we're far away at the edge of the empire, surrounded by retired centurions and their servants. So the town is bustling. No more Boudica to threaten us. And we're speculating about Roman politics, what happened in the century before the founding of the empire by Augustus, the great divine Augustus. We sacrifice it to him as much as possible. And we're speculating what that teaches us about the 21st century, which is unusual territory for us. We can see 2,000 years ahead, and we've been watching the conflict in Europe between the forces of good, that would be NATO, and the forces of villainy, that would be Moscow, the Kremlin, or reverse, depending on your point of view. We've been speculating, but we find now that in the 21st century, there are scholars who are very well informed of the same material that we work over all the time. What am I talking about? Not only Caesar, but the what preceded Caesar. Caesar was a young man once. He was born in 100 BCE. And when he was a young man, there was a strong man named Sulla. Sulla became the dictator of Rome and had beheaded many, many prominent citizens, ruled effectively for a few years, and then retired to theatrical people whom he enjoyed in the Bay of Naples and never came back to Rome. Eventually, he died as a senior citizen. Caesar knew about Sulla, and then there was Catiline, and that is the focus of our conversation today, because Catiline was a Roman nobleman. He is as empowered as the ancient families. Caesar was an ancient family. Cato's was an ancient family. Cicero was a new man. Catiline was an ancient family. Catiline had debts. They all had debts. Catiline's idea of paying off his debts was to win the consulship. This is 65, 64, 63 BCE, about 15, 14 years before Caesar's rebellion when he marched on Rome. So this is early Caesar. Catiline's idea to pay his debts was to win the consulship for a year and then be assigned a rich province in which place where he could plunder the locals and pay off all of his creditors and rise to power again by bribing and influence peddling and holding games. This is the traditional Roman way, except in this particular instance, Catiline had made an enemy of Cicero, who was a new man, who was not an ancient family, but had a golden tongue. And Cicero rose to decry Catiline and Catiline's plans to become a dictator, said Cicero, or to distribute land and unseat the Senate, said Cicero. Remember, at the time, the Senate could not make laws. They could advise and consent. They could endorse laws, but the laws were made by the plebeian assembly, the tribunate. So the laws of Rome were in flux. This is the Roman Republic. There's a famous painting of Cicero decrying Catiline, who's sitting by himself at the corner of the Roman Senate. I tell you all this because of the accusation in the 21st century. Quite spectacular. And when I showed it to Germanicus, he just laughed. I laughed too. According to scholars, in the 21st century, the Catalanarians are back. Those who would rise to power with brute force, the Sullas, the Catilines, and eventually the Caesar, because Caesar will follow the model of Catiline, supposed, and Sulla in fact. This accusation is made by those who represent the Senate or the leadership in the 21st century. You know who they are. Sometimes we call them the elite. Well, or in the Roman times, they were called the optimates, the leading men, the best men, ancient families, or new men like Cicero, who rose to power with their talents. Well, the Catilinarian conspiracy is said to be in the field again. I will translate all this and then turn to Germanicus. In the 20th century, the Catilinarian conspiracy was known as fascism, and that derived from interpretation by a newspaper man named Mussolini, a media star, who created the fascist party of Italy. That was taken up by another new man who rose with the talent of his tongue from Austria named Hitler. And the fascists were said to be the threat to democracy and the republic in the 20th century. Well, to our surprise, in Foreign Affairs, which is a premier magazine of the optimates, you need to be a scholar and with connections to routinely appear in Foreign Affairs. In Foreign Affairs, there is a lengthy, convincing piece that the Catilinarians are back, a.k.a. the fascists, and they are those who oppose the Senate, the optimates, the elite, especially those in charge who are identified by the media as virtuous. Germanicus, I fall silent because there's too much preface here. We are accused, Germanicus, in the 21st century of participating with Catiline and not with the virtuous Cicero. Now, you and I know here in 91 AD that we celebrate Augustus. Why? Because Augustus was the heir to Caesar. We celebrate Caesar. Why? Because he was a strong man. And if truth be told, Caesar copied, imitated, endorsed Catiline and Sulla at the same time. So we're grouped with in the 21st century, the fascists. How do you answer, Germanicus? Good evening to you.
Gaius, good evening. It is a wonderful metaphor to be able to take the world of America today, 21 centuries back, to the world of Cicero, Caesar, Catiline, and Cato. And truth be known, there is more there than simply a simile or a kind of apposite comparison. In fact, the problem Rome suffered from in those last decades before the new millennium was the decomposition of the Republic. And the decomposition of the Roman Republic was driven by a multitude, a complex swirl of factors. But central to the coming apart of the Roman Republic was the tension and ultimately the visceral conflict between a ruling class, the optimates, the men who owned the Senate and who owned most of the wealth, and the populares, the people, the plebs, who were being screwed. They'd been screwed for foreign wars for well over a century and a half, torn from their farms to meet their obligations to the Republic and the Constitution, impoverished, and they looked to the new men, and the new men were actually themselves, optimates, who would take up their plight. Sulla was one. The man that Sulla vanquished, Marius was another, and of course, Caesar and Pompey would be the ones who succeeded in decades to come. But the fact is, the optimates were clinging to power in a decomposing social compact in which the people were being screwed. They had looked to their tribunes, like the Gracchi brothers, who'd both been overthrown and murdered by the higher interests of the ruling class. And the fact is that what you see in the conspiracy of Catiline, even though Catiline was a base and a venal man seeking, as you pointed out, to discharge his debts and seeking to work the system, highly ambitious, totally narcissistic. There are leaders of the Populares today that we could seek out who might hold that role, like a certain Mr. Trump. But the fact is that the Senate, like blue in America today, was determined to destroy any possible threat to their control of the Roman Republic and its vast imperial possessions across the then known world. Now, what we have today is an accusation that there is a similar conspiracy afoot, that those who followed Mr. Trump, the Populares in our world, the MAGA people, are effectively traitors, and they need to be brought to heel. And anyone who might lead them must be destroyed. And the conspiracy of Catiline is today completely alive in the in so-called insurrection of January 6th. Although, truth be known, if we would look at actual facts, actual situation that existed in 63 BC, Catiline was engaged in a conspiracy to overthrow the Republic. And Cicero, although he massively exaggerated the threat that Catiline posed and the way in which Catiline would mobilize the plebs to burn down Rome, all of that was untrue. The fact is, it was a threat. But that concept, the idea that the people are not to be heard, and if they seek to be heard, they are a threat, an imminent threat to the Republic, is really the fact that the people are a threat to the ruling class. And it is important to recognize that when the ruling class, as it does today, the blue ruling class, announces, declares, reiterates again and again that the Populares represent a threat to our democracy, what they mean is a threat to ruling class ownership of the Constitution. And they seek to bring the majority of Americans, the people who are in need and who are frustrated and angry, to heel. And so today, the invocation of a conspiracy of Catiline, whether it be in the form of January 6th, in the form of some sort of resurgent impetus by Mr. Trump, or a new insurgency on the part of Mr. DeSantis, say, amounts to nothing less than an attack on the Constitution itself and, quote unquote, our democracy. So the whole point of making this wonderful metaphoric comparison between the events of 63 BC and today is to bring home the actual inner truth of the American polity and the nation today, which is that it is in as much of a decomposition, a dynamic of coming apart, of a tendency toward and actually a discernible movement toward civil war, as Rome was in 63. And we have to remember that Rome in 63 BC was not in a civil war. The conspiracy of Catiline was quickly and relatively easily brought down, and the conspirators quickly executed. But the fact is, 63 BC was but a dozen years away from the terrible civil wars that would tear the Roman Republic apart and lead to the emergence of the Principate and of a Roman imperial system, a new constitution that would replace the Republic. And there is a terrible frisson, as the French would say, a little shiver that goes up the spine, where the hairs on your back and the nape of your neck rise up when you realize that America is potentially in that situation, but a few years away from things that we could not 20 or 30 years ago have possibly imagined would be our future.
And just a thought here, because we're being accused of being Catilinarians, that makes us guilty, correct, Germanicus? The accusation is the proof.
Every revolution, and we can use the French and Bolshevik revolutions that basically are founded on the idea of some demiurge movement, some evil force that has somehow emerged from the ground to infect society or to threaten it. The very accusation that you were a part of that, whether or not it exists, is enough to put you in a situation where you are instantly stripped of authority and you must fear for your life. And this, of course, is the essence of what we call cancel culture, where all that is required to put you beyond the pale, to put you outside of what is right and true, to make you a kind of bacillus, a foreign devil, an insurrectionist, a rebel, a terrorist, a domestic terrorist, is to make the accusation. The accusation is sufficient, and that is in part what was so refreshing about the intervention of Mr. Musk into Twitter by revealing the fact that this was a concerted effort by the ruling class to strip any opposition of its capacity to speak freely, of its capacity to be, in fact, a political opposition force. In other words, the assumption in a situation like the one we inhabit today is that there is only one legitimate political entity. Anything else is not, as the British would have said in the old parliamentary world, a loyal opposition. Instead, they are insurrectionists.
Right.
They are threats.
We are the threat to the virtue of the Republic. We are.
When a society reaches the point where opposition cannot be tolerated, which is, I think, where America is today, it's just a shot away from civil war.
Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. I am John Batchelor Gaius. We turn to what we have of a new organization called the Russian Action Committee in the 21st century. It is surprising in it's recognizable to us here in the first century AD. There's always a government in exile. There's always a plan to redo the Constitution or to rearrange the Republic. When we come back, a chess champion, Kasparov, a billionaire in exile, Khodorkovsky, and the Russian Action Committee. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.